First of all, if you are visiting with us and you do not have a copy of what we call our field manuals that have these cards that we have been studying, I only have six copies of these tonight, but if you're visiting with us and would like a copy of this to look on and to follow along with, raise your hand and we will get one of these to you. I know I saw some visitors here who didn't have, you all don't have one. You can, oh, you do have one. Well, we'll give you another. Who else needs one? Everybody else has one? Oh, you weren't going to raise your hand, but since I'm going to walk by, since I was in the neighborhood, you'll... Okay. Since I'm
in the neighborhood, I forgot my...
Are you visiting with us tonight?
I've been out of town.
Do you have a friend that you could look on with?
Yes, I really do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You do have a friend?
Yes, I do.
Well, since we live in the same neighborhood, I'll let you borrow one, Joan. Okay, everybody else has got theirs tonight, right? Tonight, we are giving out the next card, known as our King card. It is the Genesis Exodus King card. What does that mean? That's the hardest? That's what that means? We have the prophet level, we have a priest level, we have a king level. And the design of this was to, I'm being bombarded by deacons. Thank you, gentlemen. The design of the program is not to overwhelm. By the way, visitors, the pack I just gave you doesn't have a king card in it. The design of the program is not to overwhelm. The design of the program is to learn. So that there are things about the Bible that that may be considered easier or a bit more basic. Those appear on what we call our prophet level. And then it steps up from there to the priest card and steps up from there to the king card. Now, this is not to say that everyone in here needs to memorize everything that is on the king card, or on the priest card for that matter. But here are things that will be helpful for us to know in our study of the Bible. So far, we have put on the web and have out in the Bible study corner the quizzes for the Genesis Exodus, both the prophet card and the priest card, and many of you have taken those, lots of you have taken those quizzes, and we are thankful for that and encourage you to continue doing that. We won't have the King quiz up for a while. We'll give you plenty of time to study this and learn it. Just a reminder that we are, as far as Sunday nights are concerned, taking a break from the Soldiers of Christ program during the months of June and July. That was planned from the beginning for a lot of reasons, but one of the benefits right now is you get more time to learn the King card. Before we move on, Bill and Novell, we've got plenty of other cards if you run out down there. This tonight, giving to you, is more for you just to take and to salivate over, to enjoy, to put by your bedside and or in your car or wherever you like to learn. If everybody's text messaging today, I'm sure everybody can Soldiers of Christ while you're driving too. And I didn't tell you to do, Richard, I didn't tell him to do that. So anyway, what we're going to do tonight, did you get some more? What we're going to do tonight, we have three more nights, and I believe we've only made it through about Exodus chapter 11 or 12. So we've got a long way to go to finish the book of Exodus. So get your Bibles out, and what I want us to do is a quick journey, and we're going to try to get, you need some more?
I need a book.
You need a what?
Book.
A book. We are going to try to get the children of Israel to Mount Sinai tonight. We're going to try to get them there quicker than they got there, but we're going to try to get them there to Mount Sinai. Who took my Bible? If you were looking at key chapters in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, what happens? Israel is slaves in Egypt. Exodus chapter 2, birth of Moses. Exodus chapter 3, burning bush. Exodus chapter 4. Do I have 4? What do I have on there? Do I have 4 through 6?
Yep.
Yep, 4 through 6. Where do they go? Moses and Aaron go where? Go to Egypt. To see who? To see Pharaoh. Chapter 7 through 11. 10 plagues. 10 plagues. So that gets us to Exodus chapter 11. Get your Bibles and get into Exodus chapter 11. And I want us to see this briefly. If you've got your reference card, that might help you. If you have a notebook, it may have a reference card and have some of the key chapters listed there. You have in the end of chapter 10, the ninth plague of darkness. You have in chapter 11, God announcing the 10th plague. What was the 10th plague going to be? Death of the firstborn. Were those male firstborn, female firstborn? I don't think there's another option, probably only those two options. Males. Was it male firstborn? Okay. We talked about this last week. I believe that was one of the assignments that was given to you last week. I jumped ahead. Go to chapter 13. We looked at this last week, but let's look at it one more time. Let me tell you some of the things that are here, and then we're going to move on from this question. Chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." Is talking about male or talking about female? By the way, who became the priests in among the Israelites? The Levites. Why the Levites? Hang on. This is impressive. All right. Why the Levites, because, Mr. Parnell?
Because they didn't approve of the golden cow that the rest of the people were like worshiping.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's true. Of course. If dumb question. What a dumb question. Was that true? If Clayton said it. Before the Levites were the only ones who didn't approve of the golden cow. Before they were the only ones who did not, what was the plan?
Firstborn.
The firstborn. Firstborn males or firstborn females? You know the answer to that question. Firstborn males. Go down to verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. That's just a little tidbit when it's talking about the firstborn that even there would have been the males. And it shall be, verse 11, 13, 11. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as He swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you. Aren't you impressed with Clayton, by the way?
Yes.
Good answer. Okay, sorry. As He swore... Aren't you proud of Him? Okay, thank you, Pat. And He gives you this land, verse 12, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Well, isn't that interesting? Verse 12 says, "You shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, every firstborn that comes from an animal." And then what? But it's the males. All that opens, everyone, the males, are specified at the end of verse 12. "But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and you shall not redeem it. Then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." Males or females? That's males, right? Haven't met many sons. I mean, this day and age, we're getting close, but haven't met many sons. They were not males. Verse 14, "So it shall be, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage.' And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Question is, who's that? Killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Is that males or females? "Both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, and all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." There appears in verse 15 to be a direct correlation between those that were being, go back up to 13 verse 2, those that were being consecrated to the Lord, both animals and man, those that were being set apart, sanctified to the Lord, a direct correlation between those in verse 15, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that open the womb, and you go back into verse 13, all the firstborn of your sons shall I redeem. There seems to be a direct correlation between those being consecrated and sacrificed and the firstborn who died in the land of Egypt. Well, who was being consecrated or sacrificed? The males, the firstborn sons. So who was it that was being, who was killed in Egypt as a result of that 10th plague? No doubt the males. And if that doesn't help you enough, I don't know. Shalom. What does that mean? What language is that? Good, that's the word I know, okay? I don't know a whole lot of Hebrew, okay? But consulted someone who has who is a proficient expert for more than half a century in the language, and he indicates that the word firstborn has as its definition firstborn males. So while it may not say here that this is specify males, that when it talks about the firstborn here, it's talking about males. Come back to chapter 12. I don't know if that helps us. It's an interesting study nonetheless. Chapter 11, God talks about this 10th plague that is coming. Who is this 10th plague going to affect? The Egyptians? Is it possible that it could have affected the Israelites? Yes. Were there any plagues that did not affect the Israelites? Yes. But this one could have. What did they have to do in order for this plague to not be affected by this plague? They take a lamb. What kind of lamb? Male or female, by the way? Talking males again, right? A male. In its first year, what kind of lamb? The guy who's only got three legs? The one without spot, without blemish, the best he's got. You take it on the 10th day. We talked about this last week. Why did they take it on the 10th and then kill it on the 14th? You figure that one out. Took it on the 10th, killed it on the 14th. By the way, when they killed it, how many bones did they break?
Zero.
None. When Jesus is talked about as our Passover lamb, as the Lamb of God, how many bones in his body were broken?
None.
Was that an accident? That was prophesied, wasn't it? Why didn't they break Jesus' bones? They broke the other guy's bones. They perceived that he was already dead. So here's this Passover lamb they take on the 10th day, they kill on the 14th day. What do they, in order to save themselves from this 10th plague, what do they do with the blood? Doorposts and lintel. Why? That's the answer, isn't it? What sense does it make to you that your firstborn son will not die if you have blood on your doorposts? Does that just click with you? Say, okay, how am I going to save my firstborn son? I think if I put blood on the outside of my house, I'll be free and clear. Does that work for you? You do it because God says to do it, right? Did they do it? Sure they did. Did the Egyptians do it? How quickly did the Egyptians learn about this plague hitting them? Did they find out that night, or was it not until the next morning? What'd you say, Clayton? It was still dark. So was that night or morning?
No, the darkness was.
This is an easy question. Was that night or morning?
Night.
Even that night, they found out about it. Go later in chapter 12, verse 29. 12:29. Came to pass at midnight, is that night or day? That the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now how can that be? How can there be a house where there's not somebody dead? Are we just talking about kids here? How many of you, raise your hand if you're a firstborn child. Raise your hand if you're a firstborn child. I see Scott Studer's hand, Jeff Leslie's hand. But Scott and Jeff, do you not also have a firstborn? I guess Brent, well, he's your firstborn and only born son, right? Scotty. Now suppose, he is your oldest, right? There's not any others, right? There. So suppose if Scott and Jeff, suppose that they didn't put blood on their doorpost and God came by their house. Who would die in that house if there's no blood? Scott and Scotty. They're both firstborns. You go throughout Egypt. There's not a house that's not affected by this. Why do you think it took so long for Pharaoh to get the hint? Why do you think it took 10 plagues? Is it because, you know, it's like Monk, and Monk needs round numbers and things to line up just right, and there had to be 10? Why did there have to be? Why did it take so long for him to get it? He's stubborn. He hardened his heart. Who hardened his heart? Pharaoh did or God did? The answer to that question, to that either or question, is yes. Chapter 12, God institutes this Passover. It was talked about just briefly last week. Institutes the Passover. How often are they to observe this as a feast, as a memorial feast? Every year they're to remember it, right? Every year they're to remember what? That God passed over their house. How did they know that God had passed over their houses? Nobody in their home was dead like in the land of Egypt. There's a lot of stuff here. Do you have your reference cards with your key chapters? Chapters 12 and 13 in the book of Exodus. Chapters 12 and 13, you have the firstborn talked about. You have the Passover instituted. Then you get to chapters 14 and 15. What happens in chapters 14 and 15 in the book of Exodus? Crossing the Red Sea. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Can you imagine? Now, was Israel aware of the water being turned to blood? Were the Israelites, were they aware of the 10 plagues? Were they aware of the water to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the death of the cattle, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn? Those 10, are they aware of all of those? Had they seen the hand of God at work? Yes. They get to the Red Sea, and they come. By the way, did Pharaoh let them go, or did they run away? Pharaoh said, "Get out of here." What did they take with them? What did they take from the Egyptians? Gold, silver, clothing. Where did they get it? Did they steal it? They didn't borrow it. If they borrowed it, they had to take it back. They wanted to go back at one point. Yes, it does say borrow, but, well, we talked about that last week, right? Okay. So you got the right word. Okay. So they took, imagine them leaving Egypt. How many people are there? When you think about the census that was taken, what book in the Bible do you think about the census being taken? Numbers. Numbers. Do you know that the numbers given to us in the book of Exodus, you don't have to wait to the book of Numbers to get it. You still in Exodus? Look in Exodus chapter 12, verse. Yeah, it's in 38 too. We're going there too, Chuck. You just know too much, Chuck. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. About how many left? 12:37. About 600,000 men on foot. Guess who's walking on foot, guys? Besides the women and children. Now, Chuck talked about Exodus chapter 38 and verse 26, where the number is specified. How many is it, Chuck? 600. While these father and son work this out, 603,550 men Of what age? They're a fighting age. You're not of fighting age, Clayton. I know you fight a lot, but you are not technically of fighting age. And that's just the army. That doesn't include wives, doesn't include children, doesn't... How many... When they get ready to leave Egypt, how many people are there? That's how many men there are. How many people are there? At least a couple million. If you're seeing that many men, for every man, there's got to be at least, you know, two women taking care of him, right? And, you know, and 2.3 children and, you know, all the rest. 2 million people leave Egypt in the middle of the night. Do you think that caused any kind of stir? And it's not just 2 million people. They've got all the livestock they're taking with them. They've got all the gold and the silver and the clothing they're taking with them. Don?
They lost all their servants.
The Egyptians lost all their servants. You would probably notice that, wouldn't you? Can you imagine the scene? There's not 2 million people in this county. Can you imagine the scene if this entire county decided we're going to get up, march out of here, and leave with all of our livestock? Can you imagine the scene that would be? They get up and they march out. By the way, how do they know what direction to go? It's night. They don't have the sun. Which way is east, north, south, west? How do they know which way to go? The North Star? No. How do they know which way to go? During the night, there is a pillar of fire. During the day, there is a pillar of cloud that leads them. How big was it? Big enough that they could all see it. When did that, by the way, move from being in the front to being in the back? At the Red Sea. Because Pharaoh let them go, and then Pharaoh, like any good king, changed his mind. He was a flip-flopper, right? He decided, nope, we're not going to let them go. We're going to go and get them back. So what did he do? Rounds up his army, rounds up his chariots, sets out after them. So here's the Israelites. On this side of them, there's the Red Sea. On this side of them is the Egyptian army. And what do they say? Oh, this is great. Great idea, Moses. There weren't any enough graves over there in Egypt. They said, not enough graves over there. You bring us out here so that we can have enough graves. God says, Moses, you take that rod. That rod that you threw down and it became a serpent. You take that rod and folks, we can't even picture that Red Sea parting. You know, the coloring pictures that we have in our coloring books have an opening, you know, that the people are walking through that's maybe from me to Joe. It's maybe that wide in our coloring books. Can you imagine getting everybody in this county through this opening in one night? You think there were any people that they had to push and prod to get going? It's the middle of the night. Can you imagine moving your kids? They're not asleep in the back seat. All right? They're not watching the movie or something. You got to get the family out. Folks, it's not 15, 20 feet wide. Imagine how wide it has to be for millions of people to cross on soggy ground. Dry. Not just parting the water. Getting the water out of the soil. So that when they take their carts through, imagine if that soil has any dampness at all. What's going to happen? You're going to get stuck. They cross on dry, solid ground. They get to the other side, and the Egyptians, what do you think the Egyptians were thinking? Well, they did it. You know, we can do it too. They start running through the middle. Do you think they even knew? Now think about it. How far did that sea have to open? You think they even knew where they were going? Who knows? They start going through. What does God tell Moses to do? Because the Israelites see him coming. What do you say? Pull the plug. Chad, I thought you had it, but that's a good one. Pull the plug. What are our Bible classes teaching, by the way? Are we teaching our kids that he pulled the plug? All right. He didn't tell him to pull the plug, but to take that same rod and to hold it over the sea. Now, if you wanted to see it opening, wouldn't you have wanted to see it close? We all like a good drama, don't we? We all like a good action movie. How about the waters crashing in? How many of them survived? What did Psalm 106 say? None of them survived. Jerry?
I was just thinking, even before the waters closed over them, their carts would be, chariots would be coming.
How did that happen? The wheels on their chariots were coming off. How'd that happen?
They were getting stuck in wet soil.
God caused the wheels to come off. Think about that. What is there that God's not going to do for you in your life? I'm not talking about Him taking the wheel off your car. Why was God causing the wheels to come off the chariots? Slow them down, right, David? Protecting His people. And what were the Egyptians figuring out as their wheels were coming off? The God of these Israelites, He's got something over us. This was not a good idea. But when you're in the middle of the Red Sea, guess what? It's too late. Even more evidence to prove that this was not some marsh area up in the Sea of Reeds or something like some would have it to be, up in some shallow area. Even more evidence that this is the Red Sea. The depth of it opened up. Those waters crash in on them. Did the Israelites see that happen? What does the Bible tell us that the Israelites saw? The Israelites saw the Egyptians right there in the waters on the shore where they were standing. Would that be real for you? If you saw God open it, you walked across, wow, this is pretty cool. You get to the other side and you saw God close it to see the result. Would that get your attention? Could you possibly... Exodus 15. Could you possibly sing, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord"? Could you sing that? Could you sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made"? Could you sing that? They burst forth in Exodus 15 in song. By the way, same song that's quoted in Revelation 15, that the redeemed will sing in heaven. Do you think we can sing in heaven, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord"? Yeah. You know what kills me? That's Exodus 15. You know what happens in Exodus 16? I think it's 16, isn't it? They start something that's going to last for Exodus and Numbers and for all of eternity. The Israelites... You don't have a verse on this. It's not on a key chapter or a key fact anywhere. But the Israelites turn into the complainites. And they complain. Can you imagine? They just saw all of this. Now they have water. And, oh, this water doesn't taste right. This water's not so good. Okay, we'll make that water sweet. You get to the next story. Oh, we don't have anything to eat. That's the end of Exodus 15. Exodus 16. We don't have anything to eat. We don't have any meat. Well, we should have stayed in Exodus. Or we should have stayed in Exodus. Yeah, we're still in Exodus. Should have stayed in Egypt, the other E word. Should have stayed in Egypt. Complaining against Moses and the Lord. What did God give to them when they complained about not having food in Exodus 16? Quail and manna. How long did He provide manna for them? All the way through the wilderness for 40 years, He's going to provide this food. Every day for 40 years except for the Sabbath day. I still don't get these people. When God tells them, "I'm going to give you this food for 6 days. And I'm going to give you enough on the sixth day to last for the seventh day. So don't go out on the seventh day and collect any food." I still don't get the people who went out on the seventh day. "Where's the food? I was here the other day." Hello? But are we still doing that today? Are people still doing that today? God says something and we walk out, well, I thought that this would happen. You know, it's old, what's his name? Naaman all over again. What? "Behold, I thought that this is what God would say." It doesn't matter what you thought. Here's what, and as simple as it is, "I'm going to give you enough on the sixth that you won't need it on the seventh. some reason they didn't figure it out. So God gives them food and gives them the quail and manna. So they're all satisfied now, right? No more complaining? Oh, Moses chapter 17, we're thirsty. These are the biggest babies, aren't they? We're thirsty. Okay. Where are they, by the way, in Exodus chapter 17? Wilderness of Sinai. God says, take that rod and you go over to a rock. And again, I think our coloring books do us a serious disservice when they, well, that's a big shoe, but I'm not taking it off. But when they show a shoe about the size of David Payne's shoe, and that's where the water's coming from. I want you to put in your imagination that 2 million people are going to drink water that are coming out of this one little baby shoe, one little baby rock. No, he goes over to the side of a mountain. He strikes a mountain and water comes out. He strikes a rock and water comes out. Go figure that one out. Where'd that water come from? How do you just take a stick, whack a rock, and water for 2 million people? Why is this not clicking? All of these quail come. They have manna every morning. They have water coming out of a rock. Shouldn't it have been clicking? What's the deal with these complainites? They're taking it for granted. That happened with us? Do we go down that same road sometimes? Exodus chapter 18, God gives Moses' father-in-law Jethro. By the way, what's Jethro's other name when we're introduced to him in Exodus chapter 2? Reuel. Good job, Bill. And somebody else who said it, some female voice. Lonnie and Bill, two people who grew up at Palm Beach Lakes, know real. Okay, so, two old people who grew up at Palm Beach Lakes knew the answer. So, Exodus 18, Jethro advises Moses about judging and tells Moses, you don't need to take all of this upon yourself. And I wanted to get to Mount Sinai, so get to Exodus 19. Here's the last thing I want us to see. Exodus 19, they come to Mount Sinai. Look at the description of what's happening. Exodus 19, verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, they're there at the mountain, that there were thunderings and lightnings, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. How many people?
2 million.
There's a good 2 million people there. When this says that the trumpet was very loud, if somebody were to blow a trumpet in the south part of this county right this second, would you hear it? If they were to blow a trumpet, a mile away, across Military Trail, would you hear it right here? No. The trumpet would have to be very... Get this. Thunderings, lightnings, a very thick cloud, a very loud trumpet, so that all the people trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God and stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. You're there. You've got thunder. You've got lightning. You've got a very loud trumpet. You've got a thick cloud. You've got smoke. You've got fire. And not only that, what's happening to the ground underneath your feet? There's an earthquake. The earth quaked greatly. Verse 19, when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, it became louder. And I want you to picture this. Here's this trumpet that 2 million people can hear. When the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Did they hear the voice of God? They absolutely did. Can you imagine being there, seeing all of this, feeling all of this, and hearing all of this? Here's the power of God. Here's the Word of God. And you're right there, a part of it. Can you believe what we read in Hebrews chapter 3 when the Hebrew writer summarizes it? Can you believe that these people departed from the living God? Can you believe that? Of all they saw, all they felt, all they heard, and they departed from the living God. What does that say about us? we can read this. We have a greater understanding, and we can have a greater appreciation for the power of God. Although we were not there, we can read every single story in this book. We can have our faith built. And can we have a faith stronger than the faith they had in Exodus 19, hearing the voice of God? Can your faith be stronger than their faith? It absolutely can, because your faith is in the Son of God. Is it possible that we could depart from the living God? It's interesting that the word living is used for God there. This is not some dead God that we serve. Did the Israelites know that? He's a living God. Do you know that? He's not some dead God. We serve the God. We serve the living God. I wanted us to have some time to review some questions, but we don't have time. We will do it next week. But we got to get Israel out of Egypt and get them into the wilderness before we get done with this. But think about what we've talked about tonight. Go home tonight. Read this again. Study it again. There are so many things that I wish we could have looked at and pointed out in here. How many years were they in Egypt? 430 years to the self same day.